Would you bow with me as we center our hearts and minds in preparation for the message today? Amen. It's almost Christmas. How are you doing? Christmas shopping? Do you have that done? Christmas mailing? Do you have that done? Oh, and some of us say yes, and some of us say no, and some of us panic when we hear that. It's almost Christmas. And all through this month of December, we have been looking together as we as a church prepare for Christmas at the names of Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the incarnation of God. God come down to earth in the flesh. That's literally what the word incarnation means, in the flesh. And that in the flesh has a name, Jesus. And Jesus we know as the Christ, which means the Messiah, which means the anointed one. We know Jesus as King. We know Jesus as Savior. We know Jesus as Emmanuel. Where did we get that name? Well, it comes right out of that reading from Matthew today. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She will give birth to a son. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, through Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And is anybody else confused about that? Wait, and they will call him Emmanuel? I don't get it. In all of my years, I've never seen Jesus called Emmanuel anywhere else in the Bible. I've never seen this used as Jesus' first name or middle name or last name. I've never seen this used as Jesus' nickname. What is this? I want to take you back to where that little passage came from. And I want to teach you just a little bit more about the history of the Jewish people and why Matthew wrote this. First of all, Matthew, the writer of Matthew, was Jewish, and he was writing to Jewish people. This is incredibly important to remember, because what you will find inside of Matthew's gospel is that he uses the Jewish scriptures a lot. He quotes and quotes and quotes them, and this is another one of those cases. That quote, "And you shall name him Emmanuel, God with us," comes from the book of Isaiah in the 7th chapter. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." What is that? What is that? What is that? Where did that come from? All right, back way up with me. And the Hebrew people were down in Egypt in slavery. Moses came, led them out. They went through the wilderness. They wound up in the promised land in Canaan. In Canaan land, they began to develop as a people. And all of the tribes, those 11 and 12 tribes, began to form this loose confederation that filled up that land. They did not have any central government. They didn't have any way other than just informal accords and communication together to be as a people. And as the years went, they became more and more a unified people. Eventually, they were ruled over by judges. These were not officially appointed. These were people who stepped up in times of crisis. They guided the people through crisis, and then they went back to their normal lives. But the time period came when the people of Israel gathered together and said, "We want a king. Can we just have a king like everybody else around us?" And the prophets warned them. They said, "Don't go there. Don't go there. If you get a king, you're going to get all the baggage that comes with it." Well, they went there. And so King Saul was anointed. And then King David. And after David, his son, Solomon. But the problem was that indeed all of the baggage came with this. And as stable as those kings were, they still introduced an instability into the country. And it was after Solomon died that the northern and southern parts of Israel could not decide on who to follow as a king. And they split. The northern 10 tribes went in one direction, and the bottom tribes went in another. It was Israel on the top, sometimes known as Ephraim, and Judah on the bottom, where Jerusalem was. Sometimes these two small nations, just like a brother and a sister, would get along marvelously. They would cooperate and they would work together in economics, sometimes in religion, sometimes in government. But a lot of the times they did not. They would go tooth and nail with each other. Here was one of those times. When they had split, the north, Israel, became independent, developed its own military, developed its own style of religion, and they made an alliance with the country that was directly to the right, to the east of them, Aram. Aram and Israel shared one very big concern together, and that was that to the north of them was the nation of Assyria. Assyria was gaining traction, was gaining power militarily, and they wanted to defend against Assyria in case they decided to invade. Now, what they really wanted was not just to do this alone, they really wanted Judah to join them also. And so Israel and Aram went down and talked to King Ahaz, who was ruling at that time. This would have been about 735 BCE, before the Common Era. And as they were in negotiations, Judah with King Ahaz said, no, we don't want to do this. That did not sit well with Israel and Aram. And so what they figured out was that they would invade Judah, that they would capture Jerusalem, throw the king out of power, and put their own king in, and that king would join them in this now threesome of self-defense against Assyria. In that, it didn't work. Ahaz absolutely refused, but that didn't mean that he didn't fear it. Enter the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was a man who served as a prophet to the southern kingdom, to Judah, to Jerusalem, to that southern area. But he did so over multiple kings. He was in that presence for about 35 years. So he served different kings in different ways. He came to King Ahaz, and he said, I know what you're dealing with. I know the problems you're going with. Don't worry about it. What God is telling me is that you just don't need to worry about Israel and Aram invading you. And of course, Ahaz was relieved to hear this, but he wasn't sure if he could trust that word or not. And so Isaiah said to him, look, you have permission to ask God for a sign. And when you have asked this, God will show you the sign, and you will know that you can trust God to keep you safe from Israel and Aram. What would you like to see? What should that sign be? And Ahaz said, I don't know. I don't want to try God's patience. And at that point, this is where you heard those words. It wasn't God who lost patience. It was Isaiah who lost patience and said, hear now, you house of David, isn't it enough to try the patience of people? Will you also try the patience of God? Therefore, I'll tell you what the sign is going to be. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey, but he will know, but when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. Before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of these two kings you dread will be laid waste. And the Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. And he will bring the king of Assyria. All right. When we think of Jesus, and we think of this name Emmanuel, we think of not just a baby, a random baby. It is a random, or it is a specific, very specific baby that is coming as the presence of God. This originated back in that story of Isaiah calling for Emmanuel. Let's explain it more deeply. In King Ahaz's court, it does not tell us who this young woman was. It does not say a specific name, a specific date. There are no specifics. It simply says, Ahaz, there is a woman in your court. Now, Ahaz would have known who this was. There is a woman in your court who is pregnant for the first time. She is going to deliver a baby, and you will name this baby, she will name this baby Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And as this child grows, you can watch this child, not because the baby was a magic baby, not because this was a Christ figure or a Messiah, this was not a warrior. No, 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 no. Isaiah said, as this child grows, you will notice that as he gains strength, that Israel and Aram are losing strength. By the time this boy gets old enough to make right decisions, you will not need to worry about Israel and Aram because they're not going to be around. Assyria will come down. God will bring Assyria down, and these two countries are going to disappear as a threat. This was approximately in the year 735. And it was indeed 13 years later. How old was this boy? Just coming into teenage years, the years when you begin to learn right from wrong and know how to choose the right, that Assyria invaded Israel. And in the year 722 BCE, Israel fell. 2 years later, in 720 BCE, Aram fell. This is the origin of Emmanuel. It's not about a magic baby growing up to be a magic soldier with a magic army that will miraculously rid Israel of every... No, no. It was a marker. This baby was seen as a marker and as a reminder to say, God is with us. Ahaz, every time you see that boy, as he grows, every time you speak his name, you are to be reminded that God is with you. This is the power of this word Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel is not a name that we have given to Jesus. It was not his first name or his middle or his last or his nickname. It was none of the above. What it was a reminder and a marker that says Jesus came as the presence of God. God with us. Every time you think of this boy, every time you think of this man, we will be reminded that God is with us. This is incredibly important to hear in this day and age. We need to hear again and again that God is with us. In the midst of the pandemic, God is with us. There is an Emmanuel in the midst of pandemic. We watch as we see where God is. We watch inside of our emergency rooms as they are overwhelmed, as our hospital staff is just scrambling to keep our hospitals afloat. This is certainly true in Western South Dakota, and I know in so many other places. We know that God is present on the floor. We know that God is present in the nursing stations. We know that God is present in our nursing homes. We know that God is with us in our senior care facilities and out on Main Street. We know that God is with us in our homes, but we still need to be reminded all the time, God is with us, God is with us, God is with us. And so here comes Christmas. Let us be reminded time and time again that God is with us. With this, then let me flip this. What does that mean? If we remember that God is with us, then does it also not mean that we must be with God? Did you know that the first of the pandemics to hit the Roman Empire happened about in the year 165 AD? What we suspect is that it was smallpox. It doesn't matter what it was. It was horrendous and it was devastating. It didn't happen before then because the Roman soldiers were not in areas where this disease existed. What happened was that the Roman soldiers, the legions, as they spread out across the empire and added new areas, were in new territories, they contracted smallpox and they wound up bringing it back into the Roman Empire, where it spread like wildfire. Who was it that was on the front lines of care? It was the early Christians. These early Christians who marked well the words, "Beloved, let us love one another." "Beloved, let us stir up one another to love and good works." These words that hit so powerfully home with the earliest Christians, it was the Christians who were on the front lines, who were taking care of these people as they came in with smallpox, even though they knew that they would likely get it themselves. What were they demonstrating? Not just God with us. Also, we are with God. It's not enough to simply sit at home while the world is in trouble around you. It's time to step out and help the world. This is the power of Emmanuel. All right, my dear Spearfish Church, let me remind you of your story. It was in the year 1883 that the first missionary came down the hill from the gold fields up in Leed and Deadwood and began to start this congregation. Three families met, and then it grew to four, and it grew to five, and eventually, in the year 1884, they were ready to find places to meet. They would meet in people's living rooms, and then eventually, because there wasn't any church building for them to meet in, they made a deal with one of the saloons. That saloon was just a block south of us, a block and a half, right where Wells Fargo Bank is today. And in that block, there was a set of new buildings, including the saloon, that had an empty building on it upstairs. It was an empty room. They met on a Sunday, and it was that night that the building caught fire and burned to the ground. Now, of course, immediately, because gossip knows no generation and time, immediately the Methodists were blamed for that fire, except there were others within the community who had been at the fire, and they said, oh, no, 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 they weren't, because it was the Methodists who were first there responding to the fire. They were the ones at the head of the bucket brigade. Now, it turns out that it was a cigar stub that had fallen down in back of one of the spittoons and had ignited. But this church began with the whole concept of Emmanuel that says God is with us and we are with God. We do not just sit in the room. We are at the head of the bucket brigade. We are the ones who make a difference. I want to call you. I want to challenge you. I want to invite you into this time and presence. This world needs Emmanuel desperately right now. And by this, I do not mean simply a magic baby in a lovely, lovely creche in a nativity scene that we back up and say, oh, isn't that a cute baby Jesus? No. What I mean is this Emmanuel came with all the love and power of the living God to make a difference in our world. And in Christmas, we get to enjoy the power of this baby. But that baby grew up, and that baby made a difference, and that baby invites us. Invites us to look at our neighbors. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. That does not mean your neighbor who politically agrees with you. That does not mean just your neighbor who is economically stable right now and doesn't need any help. It means all of our neighbors. It means the neighbors who disagree with us politically. It means our neighbors who are very different and in trouble right now economically. It means those who are scrambling with their kids in school, trying to figure out how to get through this school year. It means those of us in every single church, for churches are just scrambling now also, trying to figure out which end is up and how do we reach people and how do we keep connected. It means that we love those who are in our care facilities and in our hospitals, supporting them as best we can, because God is with us and we are with God. And that means that we are with our neighbors. Now, this means that we have to very carefully look in the mirror. It is all too easy to look at somebody on the other side, whoever your other side is. And what we look is to say, oh, those people, at the very least, are stupid and very well could be evil. How do we move past stupid and evil? How do we move past anger and frustration and argument? How do we move past entrenched sides? Well, it all begins when we focus on one thing. I love working with people who are different than me. I love working with people who disagree politically and economically and every way. Because what you have to do is you have to begin not by asking, where are we different? What do we disagree with? We have to begin by asking, what is it that we hold in common? And in this season, what we hold in common is Emmanuel, God with us, and we are with God. This God with us in the form, in the shape, in the manner of a baby. This Jesus we can agree on. Let's begin with that. One thing. Let's begin by agreeing on one thing, and then let's move from there. May it be this week that you are able to recognize Emmanuel in your own life, in your own house, in your own community, and know that this absolutely means that God is with you and that you are with God. May it be that this changes who you are, how you talk, how you listen, how you share, and how you love. And there will be a baby, and you shall call him Emmanuel, because God is with us. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, move, walk, be with us in everything that we say and do, in work, in play, in our families, in our workspaces, wherever it may be. Lord, be with us, Emmanuel. Amen.